Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers Podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Round 24, just the four rounds to go in season 2025, and it has been a beauty. Not too much drama on the weekend, injuries kept to a minimum, first round of head-to-head finals, first round of draft finals, bit of drama on the Sunday, few low scorers. Joining me to diagnose round 23 that was, and round 24 up and coming. We got a couple of amazing guests for you this evening. First up, it's coach of CMAX 86ers and baller regular, CMAC. How are you, mate?
Good, Matt. Good. Yeah, interesting weekend just gone. A little bit of weather around here and there, so scores fluctuated a touch. But I managed a 13.63, which ended up being pretty good. Held on to that top 1,000 spot, won a couple of head-to-head leagues, so I got the week off. So there'll be no trades for the 86ers this week, which is fantastic because I don't have
how
any left.
How many trades are you down
two.
To?
Two.
Two. Okay. Yeah. That's not too bad. Up the jumper.
I'd love four.
And how were the head-to-head leagues? Pretty close in the end, I hear.
Mate, very, very stressful. So I matched on captain and then went down to basically Sunday afternoon. I needed Lomax and or Drinkwater to both score at least 30 so they wouldn't drop out. So we wouldn't drop out from my opponent. Anyway, the last half an hour, my kids were trying to engage with me. I gave them nothing. Like, seriously, felt like the worst parent. It was the worst half hour of my year. Snuck home, got there. Kids got ice cream for dessert just to make it up to them. So it worked out pretty well.
It was so dramatic as well because all the updates came through for the Saturday games and Friday games, I think just after the Titans game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and before the Eels game. So it was drama everywhere. I had some draft leagues going on the same. It was good fun, though. And thankfully, yeah, Lomax, very disappointing, though, for captain, as I nearly captained him when with JC, which was frustrating to say the least. But at least we got away with a 78. So onwards and upwards. Also joining us tonight, it's second time pod appearance for this year for this bloke. He's having a very, very strong year, still ranked inside the top 300. It's coach of Let Holmes Cook, Fenno. Fenno, how are you, mate?
I'm well, Matty. Thanks for having me back. I'm actually in the top 200.
Okay, top 200.
I was going to jump in there too.
We're shooting you down too quick.
Yeah. Yeah, 157, some small green arrows this week. Jumped up about 10 spots. Like both of you boys, I had some cash leagues I needed to win. I got 3 out of 4, so pretty happy with that. I didn't actually cash a lot of the footy on the weekend because I had my son's 18th, so didn't see any of this Saturday's games, and I'm kind of glad I missed that James Tedesco masterclass because I definitely did not have a VC or C button on him. But, yeah, scraped my way to a 13.59, so I was pretty happy with that all in all. And
happy birthday to young Fenno.
Thanks, mate. Also didn't trade, so I've still got 4 trades left. Hoping to make some more moves and get back into that top 100.
Is young Fenno into his super coach at all, or is he, now that he's turned 18, looking to get into it a bit more?
No, not at all. He's actually a Manly fan, so
okay. That's no good.
Yeah. But he wasn't very happy after the footy on Friday night. But yeah, no super coach for him.
Mate, so much disappointment in your voice there. He's actually a Manly fan.
Yeah,
I love that.
100%. Yeah, he went with his mum's side of the family, unfortunately.
Oh, no good.
I'm just impressed we've got someone with an older child than Christopher on the podcast. That's a good effort, Fenno. mate, I hear you actually. Yeah, you went to the game with baller favourite Jono on Friday night. Saw Ethan Strange demolition.
Yeah, it was good. We had a little bit of a mandate. And he's a big behemoth of a man, old Jono. But it was good. It was freezing cold. We're a little bit worried as non-turbo owners after he scored within the first couple of minutes of the game, but thankfully he stayed pretty quiet. And I was coming up against KO Weeks in a few head-to-head, so I was also happy he went very quiet as well. But it was good. Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, no, I was the opposite. I had turbo. I bought him in the week prior, and I was up and about early because it was one of those ones where I was getting the kids into bed and I came back out. I saw that it was 4-0 and I'm like, oh, who scored? And I rewound it and watched it back and saw that turbo's gone over and I'm like, how good's this? We're away here. And that was unfortunately as good as it got for turbo owners on Friday night. Boys, we are launching this week player profiles on baller.live. I cannot wait for this. It's going to be an amazing new product that we're going to be delivering. You'll be able to check out historical and upcoming stats for all the players in the NRL Supercoach game. That's a forerunner to a player comparison tool that we're also going to be dropping. So, yeah, I know, Chris, you've been spending a lot of time on Baller and hanging out for the player profiles. Just another little weapon to add to the arsenal as we head towards the end of the season, but certainly heading into next season.
Yeah, can't wait for that to be there, Matt. Like you say, just something else to gather information from. I know Jono was very excited on Sunday. He might have gone off early with the comparisons, but the player profiles will be there very shortly, which is going to be awesome. So I can't wait to get involved with them.
And make sure, if you haven't already, head along to baller.live, baller.live, and sign up before the end of the season. We still got heaps and heaps of stuff going. We're going to have more leagues for the summer Supercoach comps, and we're going to be dropping more and more free cool stuff over the period as well. So baller.live and sign up now. It's all completely free. Speaking of other sports, Chris, we're going to drop the EPL Supercoach league code tonight, 920230 for the Baller EPL Supercoach League. You started crafting a team yet in the EPL?
Yeah, I was very lucky today. A couple of my meetings ran a bit short, so I got a bit of time back. So I was able to jump in and build my EPL team as well as my NFL team. So they both probably need a bit of work. Very Liverpool heavy to start with, so I'll probably, after the Community Shield on the weekend, I probably got to reassess that after they went down to Palace in penalties. But looks pretty good. Can't wait to get amongst it.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a play as well. I've created a team. You only get 44 trades in 38 game weeks with 6 boosts. So you can make 2 trades a week, but you only get to make it on an average of like 1.1 trade a week, 1.2 trades a week if you want to save them all. And there are going to be double game weeks, there are going to be blank game weeks, much like FPL, if anyone out there has played that. I'm sure there are a lot out there listening. So I think principally, you got to be looking at guys who are nailed on to start, high expected minutes guys, you know, guys like Salah and Haaland. They're obviously expensive. Guys that you were just going to turn up every week, I think, is going to be really critical to not force yourself into transfers that you really shouldn't have to make. So that's how I've started to build my squad, and very much looking forward to the kickoff of EPL. I don't know how long it's going to last just with this rolling lockout business. Those middle of the nights is not
set your alarms. It's going to be tough.
But yeah, NFL starting as well. Fennel, I know you're a huge NFL fan. So you were saying pre-pod, about 30 minutes of it opening, you already had your team set up.
Yeah. Like I was like a kid in a candy store when they announced it on the social media that it was coming. And I set my team up within half an hour. I've been heavily into NFL fantasy probably the last 5 or 6 years. Love what it's about. And glad it's now on an Australian Supercoach platform. So yeah. Team's ready to go, and I'm pretty confident. I did the alternative dream team last year, and I think I finished top 300, so did pretty well last year. So, yeah, keen to rip in.
And did you? They look like quite big squads. Like you got to pick a lot of players in the
Supercoach. Yeah. Like six wide receivers. I think 4 running backs on field. So, but thankfully, there's some good rookies out there. So, yeah. Get in there and build your teams, everybody.
Yeah, we'll be having a league for that too in the coming weeks as we get closer to the start. But yeah, can't wait. All these, it's so good to see Supercoach putting so much effort and resource into all these sports. And it's great for everyone out there in the ball community as well. So we're going to be dropping a load of stuff, content around all of it. And we're going to have a Discord launching as well, which is very exciting. That's going to be in the next week or two. So a place for the ball community to come and hang out, chat, ask questions, and be ballers. So it's going to be a ton of fun. Cannot wait to get that up and running as we get into these other sports and BBL, of course, at the back end of 2025. All right, guys, run home challenge update. So the weekly winner was Dan, coach of Tukey's Torpedoes. Dan's already been in touch on Instagram. Congratulations, Dan. Great name for a team, too.
Tukey.
One of the great smart Tukey. Yeah, Tukey's Torpedoes. Dan, he had a massive score on the weekend, 1560 or something ridiculous.
I'm assuming Captain Teddy.
Yeah, captained the Ted man. So yeah, so huge week for him. He's one of the Baller merch pack, so he'll be getting that sent out to him this week. Doing a big send of those tomorrow. Chris, you got yours last week. You're flying. Fenno, you're coming to Melbourne at some point shortly to pick up your Young GI shirt, having won it on the watch along the other week.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Can't wait.
So we've got some good merch flying at the door. The leader overall in the Run Home Challenge is Michael, coach of Scrum and Coke. Big community member, Michael. He's been around for a while. And so congratulations to him. Can he hold on? Because on his tail is first place overall, Finn. One-time baller contributor this year. He's been on our pod. We found him before he got to the top, but he is now first overall. Unbelievable, Chris. I reached out to him this week to see if he'd come on, and he was keen, but then he sort of had a bit of a think. He doesn't want to jinx it too much, and he doesn't want to give away any secrets.
Nor would you. Like, how good's that? Like, being first at some point's amazing. Being first this close to the end, like,
what a time
amazing.
To hit the lead.
Yeah, what a time. Hopefully he's well positioned trades wise, and amazing. He is where he is, and hopefully. He keeps kicking goals and he's there.
I just want to give him a shout out, tell him to make sure he's focusing on his team, because I saw him posting some social media content of himself as an AI bot in all his South gear during the week. So, Finn, get back to work, mate. But we're looking forward to having Finn on at the end of the season. Hopefully it's as the champion. I've secured exclusive rights to the first Finn interview as well, if you can take down the crown. So we're hoping to have Finn on our mega watch along next week. Fenno, I know you're coming along to that now. We have Friday night with the big two games.
Yeah, can't wait. Blockbuster games too, like top four teams playing, can't wait. Be some great banter going on with everybody. So yeah, keen to jump in and have a rip.
Yeah, it's an absolute cavalcade of Supercoach stars and starlets. Well, maybe not too many starlets, but
well, the way Tubes carried on this week after we discussed the Baller Bash, that's diva behaviour. That's a starlet there if I've ever seen.
Absolutely. He is the undisputed diva of Baller at the moment, Tubes. So,
amazing.
Amazing, yeah. No, it's going to be great fun. We've got the Panthers and Raiders kick us off at 6 p.m. and then Storm and Bulldogs 8 p.m. What a night of footy. We're going to be covering it all. We've got 5 hours of live watch along on YouTube, X and Facebook.
Can't wait.
What a night.
We'll all be there. We got the Fizz coming. Hopefully got Phil, Finney. We got Realm and Myth. We got Tubes, Dan, Jono, of course. So it's going to be a ton of fun and I can't wait. That's next Friday night. Not before then, though, we got another watch along this Thursday night for the big one, Storm Panthers. I'll be on there hoping to get Aman on as well. And then potentially we'll probably see Tubes or Jono on there as well. So it should be good fun this Thursday.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
All right, that's plenty of housekeeping tonight, fellas. Let's get stuck into some Supercoach. Now, it's not the easiest week in terms of trade targets, so I want to spend a little bit of time on captains to kick us off as part of the Baller Blueprint. Now, the reason why Finn's in first is because he looped Tedesco. So he took a chance to not VC or C Cleary. I think most of us did that. I certainly VC'd Cleary. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on how you're approaching captains. We did a bit of a deep dive on captain averages a few weeks ago. Fenno, I believe that was the episode you were on.
Yeah.
But this time of year, how are you assessing captains, Fenno, and what are the key things that you're looking for in terms of matchup or ceiling?
Yeah, I think it's kind of twofold. It depends whether you're focused on going overall or for head-to-head. On the weekend, I was probably more focused towards winning my head-to-head matchup. So a lot of my head-to-heads had the VC on Cleary. I was trying to fox people. I had the captain on. Who do I have the captain on? Oh, it was someone, one of my center wings anyway. I was always going to captain Jaden Campbell. He was my number one captaincy option. But yeah, you've got to start thinking outside the box. Like Tedesco coming up against the Dolphins side that had just lost Herbie Farmworth. And playing at Suncorp, he always scores well at Suncorp. I did have it in the back of my mind earlier in the week as him as a potential VC option. But yeah, I just followed the crowd and it's the time of year where you want to start taking risks. And if you have a look at the options we've got this week, like there's no real standout captaincy options for mine. There's a couple of great VC options, but if you jag one of those low percentage captain people this week, then you're flying. You can move up multiple ranks. So yeah, I've got a couple of weeks off in my head to head, so I'm going to be looking at a bit of a pod captain this week, trying to jump my overall rank up. So yeah, I'll be looking at through the great tools that Baller have got. I'll be looking at the captaincy percentages and trying to find someone at a low percentage to try and jump up the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, that's I think there's definitely a good strategy to head to Baller with those captain percentages along with the projections. Chris, I captain Jaden Campbell as well on the weekend. I was kicking, obviously everyone who didn't VC or C Teddy was kicking themselves, and form is temporary, class is permanent is the phrase that comes to mind with someone like Tedesco. But what it really reinforced to me is when you're looking for these guys and when you're looking with ball projection, so I think Teddy was projected 84, which was about 4 or 5 points below Lomax and Campbell, that when you're looking at a captain, fullback, even though that the projection in terms of the sort of midpoint or median in terms of where we're looking at when we're doing those projections, the ceiling on someone like Teddy is just always so big. Like Lomax, I don't really think Lomax would have a very rare 189 in his locker. Campbell a little bit more maybe, but Teddy can, the way Teddy can pump those out is unlike anyone else. So my point, it's a long-winded way of saying that should we really be like looking harder at fullbacks when they're a bit more obvious, even if they're not in the best form?
Yeah, it's probably not a bad way of looking at it, especially like this week, probably someone like Drinky, who's had some down weeks. I think you sort of touched on like, what was your phrase? Form is temporary, class is permanent. Like, correct. I think that rings true with Drinky again. Like, I think he's got a really nice matchup this week. I know he doesn't have the goal kicking, but fast track in Townsville against the Knights, like, I know people are thinking about selling him, and I'm actually thinking, is he a good pod captain this week? So I really like all the fullbacks. I'm looking this week at Turbo. I like a captain who plays the Saturday 3 p.m. or the Sunday 2 p.m. game. I just love having daytime captains, and he's got a really good fixture. The weather looks a little bit better in Sydney this week. Turbo, look, he's coming off a couple of 50s, but he looks better. It's hard because Brooks and Cherry are struggling, but I just love him to get some good ball on the weekend. I think he's a good captaincy option this week against the Tigers with hopefully a sunny 2 p.m. Sunday game at Allianz.
I've still got massive PTSD from captaining him for his 23 against the Eels earlier in the year. Yeah, Allianz is a funny one. As long as it's not wet, that ground is generally pretty good. Yeah, I don't know where the Tigers are at. Like, they seem to try in a lot of weeks. Some weeks they can play quite well. Manly are just so hot and cold. But, yeah, Turbo does look back. I'm going to be heavily considering. He's got a ball projection of 82 this week, so pretty strong. Drinky, who you also mentioned, 78. I worry just a little bit. I'm not selling Drinky, like, to the point like that you made there, Chris, as well. I just think without the goal kicking, I wonder why he's not goal kicking would be the first thing. So I don't think he was kicking that badly to lose it to Laybutt. Like, is there something else there, like an injury or something like that?
That's probably a really good point.
So that's always my golden rule, is I'll never captain anyone with any sniff of an injury. That's got me before. Nico, I know that's got Nico a couple of times. And speaking of Nico, Nico is my current... I will definitely have the VC on him, but I would love the C on him as well. I think I've only got the one... I've got 19 this week, with the 19th is Oren Keeley. So, I'm probably going to VC Nico. He's got the highest ball of projection, 95 this week, home to the Titans, one of his best matchups of the year. I'm still seeing enough in Hines. Like, the Sharks haven't been lighting it up, obviously, and there was a terrible loss on the weekend. You're a dragon, aren't you, Fenno?
I thought it was fantastic, actually. Yeah, we played well.
Yeah. So, to be fair, the Dragons did play really well. So I take my hat off to them, but I just thought they shut us down. They shut down Hines and Brayley, and we had no response to that. They let Trindle and Kennedy have as much ball as they wanted, and
it was not good.
Just on your Nico point, I think you were touching on a bit before. He's one of those guys that has got that ceiling as well. Like coming up against the Titans team, 3 p.m. at home on a Saturday afternoon, if the weather's good, like he can go 130, 140. And if you haven't got an armband on him, you're behind from the eight ball straight away.
Yeah, completely agree. I think he's a no-brainer VC at the very minimum. I would love to see him. Just need to figure out. But your point is exactly right, Fenno. So it's these fullbacks, these really gun fullbacks who have the ceiling, and then it's your Clearys and your Hineses. And that's, I think that's what separates Hughes a little bit as well. Hughes can go huge on a given game, but he needs everything to go right. Otherwise, he's more sort of topping out at that 100, 110 on a good day. So, and that's another reason as well. Like Lomax, outstanding NRL player, outstanding Supercoach player. Ruben Garrick, the same on his day when he's on the wing. I just really don't feel comfortable captaining wingers just because if they don't score and the match doesn't quite pan out how you hope, then you do end up with a 50. And there's nothing wrong with that from a 700, 800K player every now and again. But when they're your captain, then you just that's when you can't really stomach it. So I'm just going to reinforce that rule to myself, one, about injuries, and two, about trying to get those guys with the ceiling. Even if their whole number projection isn't quite as high, which we saw last week, it's just a really good rule to remember. And we're actually going to release some cool stuff on that next year around points distribution as well. So like showing how likely someone is to hit a certain number or to what percent they might be to get 120, 130 plus as well. So that's going to be really cool next
year.
Love
that.
Yeah. So that is going to be really sick. So yeah, it's a good conversation to lead into that. But I'm looking at currently I've got it on Hines and Turbo, but geez, I'd love to own Reece Walsh this weekend. I had a quick look at Drinky to Walsh, but I'm not. I can't do it. It's so luxury.
I actually think without Reynolds and Mann, it plays into his hands as well. They'll just be playing Reece ball. It'll be like Nico in 2022. He'll just get it whenever he wants, either side of the ruck, wherever.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I'd love to own this week. It's just way too luxury a trade.
We'll have a bit more of a chat about Reece Walsh when we talk about fullbacks because, yeah, I've got a little bit more to say on him. Just on some of the other projections this week for the captains, we've got Hines 95, Haas 90. Haas, Fenno's not really, like, it's just a bit too much with this. This is this injury stuff as well and just a little bit too much up in the air with his minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. He looked really good coming back on the weekend against the Storm. But, yeah, it's just that at any point he could, get an early shower. It's the minutes that worry me. So, you know, he's not really in my conversations for captaincy going forward.
Yep. Lomax 87. They got the Bunnies this week, Chris. This will obviously, after a few people captained him last week, this is probably the week he goes off.
Every chance he does. And there could be the Bunnies could be a bit flat too after putting so much effort into avoiding the spoon up there on the Gold Coast on the weekend. So, yeah, he's probably not a bad one to look at.
Obviously, matchup, which I didn't really touch on there, matchup is still so important, and we do get that reflected in the in the projections. But yeah, like that's Souths are still the team to target for the run home. There's no doubt about that. It is Indigenous round though, so we got like that. We know the Bunnies get up for that more than any other team. Chris, can I just indulge you and Fenno? Can I just indulge you with a quick South story, if you don't mind, for a second? I did tell you this, Chris, on chat over the weekend, but
great chat.
The Podfather rang me last week. Good friend of the show, obviously the Podfather, and I've had to go to Redfern the other day. I was doing some digging into something, and it turns out that my great grandfather, his grandfather, was the 55th player ever for South Sydney, and he played one game against the Roosters in 1911. So that was quite stunning. Like,
yeah, that's amazing. Cool.
Yeah, and I just wish I don't know if I wish or don't. We do wish that I knew when I was younger. I probably would have ended up being a Rabbitohs supporter. So don't know.
Is that why you're repping the Bunnies jersey at Magic Round, mate?
Yeah, maybe it was. Subconsciously. Yeah.
That is a good jersey.
And my son goes for the Bunnies as well, so he was stoked to hear it. It's but yeah, cool little piece of self-indulgence there. Anyway, we'll take it with us. So back to the captains. Walsh 84, Terrell May 83, Turbo 82, Cleary 81, Teddy 76. That Cleary 81 just shows like playing the Storm. That's a tough matchup for Cleary. Even though they are favourite, Paps is out. Cleary can obviously score well, but yeah, that's down sort of 15 to 20 points on where his projections have been the last month.
Can I just
roughly
touch on
so
the last,
too, I think.
Yeah, can I just touch on the last guy you mentioned there, Tedesco? Like, he was in some form last week. I know he's playing the Bulldogs this week, but like, if he's got a bit about him this week, I don't hate him as a VC option. Early in the round, Friday night, 8 p.m. So he's someone I'm considering as a VC this week. I'll wait and see what the weather's like. But like Bulldogs, yeah, pretty good defensively, but they have been known to leak points. When they played earlier in the year, I think it was like a 24-20 scoreline. So yeah, I don't hate him as a VC option this week either.
Especially if you really want to captain Nico.
100%, yeah.
It's a good shout. That's the game before it. You get a whole night to reassess. You can sleep on it. And yeah, decide if you want to loop that 140 points or not, Finno.
Fingers crossed.
Langmiller, veers to the right, inside.
Oh!
Bateman! Bateman!
Wow!
Yes! Yes! Canberra!
All right, guys. Let's move on then, shall we? And we're going to get into positional analysis now. And like I said, the trades is not... There aren't a lot of people trading, basically. Usually we'll see the top traded player in the top 10% be sort of 20 to 30% purchased. This week, the top player being purchased is 3%. So that just shows you how few trades are left and also probably the lack of options for trades this week. So we will go through trades. But Chris, I just wanted to start with trade strategy. You said you've got two. Fenno's got four. I've got three. There's four trading rounds left, 24, 25, 26. No, three trading and 27, yeah, so four. Are there going to be better weeks, do you think, to maximize the value of these trades? And is it potentially just a week to sit on them, unless, you know, head-to-head matchup notwithstanding?
Yeah, obviously there's the head-to-head element, which I think is really important for a lot of people now. So, like, if you've got a week off, great, don't trade. Your main league, don't trade. No need to, especially not this week. There's no one glaringly obvious. My big one this year, and I'm probably not going to be in a position to be able to do it, is you want as many trades as you can have in round 27. In my opinion, I think there could be mass restings, and it's going to be survival of the most trades. So you could really do, like, there'll be people out there with a boost left. So those three trades will be absolute gold. So my advice is, if you are overalling here, hold them. Round 27, you will need them massively, in my opinion.
Yeah, there is the counter to that is making the value of the trades, like, the further out you are from the finish, obviously you can maximize the value more. But I think you're right. I think, like, I would be surprised if any of us have 18 players in round 27.
I'll be Buckley's.
So obviously that gets you an extra player straight up if you've got two trades there to make. So I'm probably going to look at that same strategy. But Fenno, I'm just of the opinion that this week there aren't many good targets. So unless I was, like, desperate to win my head-to-head matchup and then really needed to pot up on someone, I just think this is the week. All the good options are sort of at fullback, but we've already got three good fullbacks.
100% agree. Yeah, I've got four left, and I, like what C-Mac was saying, I'd love to have two of those available for that round 27. The only counter for me that is, if I'm looking down in my head-to-head on Sunday, if I can switch, like, a drinky to a turbo, that's, if for a head-to-head player, that's kind of a move I would consider if you need a bit of a differential type player. But yeah, there's no, like, no standout options. Like, if you've got three good fullbacks, two good halves, Nate Cleary and Hines. Look, I was, before this week, I was looking at, like, I had 17, and then got some good news. I got Tino named and I got Carapani back. And to me, that's just solidified the fact that I don't need to trade this week. The other thing is, I've got Herbie Farnworth, who in all likeliness probably doesn't come back, but the fact that he's a slim chance to play round 26, round 27, I'm just going to leave him there. And if he plays, if he somehow comes back against that Titans matchup, God, he'd be an awesome pod to have, or even in the last round as well. So the fact that he's not definitely ruled out for the season, I consider him a somewhat warm body, so I'm happy to hold on to him and trade elsewhere for players that are already ruled out for the rest of the season.
I suppose the other fantastic thing about Herbie is he's worth 850K or whatever it is.
That's right, yeah.
You can, at any point, you can move him to anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Once we get this Tolu Kola situation again, that we can get a center moving to fullback, then we can jump on. Let's get into fullbacks, boys. And we spoke a little bit about Scotty Drinkwater. Now, he is one of the most sold players this week. He's coming off a score. I think, what did he score? 49 or
43?
43. So pretty poor on the weekend, Scotty Drake. We mentioned he's not kicking. Could he be a little bit injured? I would, if I was flush with trades and I didn't have anything to worry about, and I put that in relative terms. If I had six trades left, say, I actually wouldn't mind moving Scotty Drinkwater on this week. The only thing to say there, though, is that they are playing the Knights at home, and the Knights are just about the worst team in the comp at the moment. So the matchup is great, even if he's not kicking. Is he a little bit injured? Could you stomach, if you had the trades, Chris, would you consider that?
If I had six trades going into this week, oh, yeah, I'd be going Drinkwater to Walsh. Yeah. In my situation, I would. Yeah. Mind you, I'm quite firm on holding if you're under four, because I just mentioned it earlier. Like, you know, he's a great super coach player. Yeah, he's not goal kicking. He hasn't really been a big goal kicker in the past, and we've all still been happy to own him.
Yeah.
It's a great matchup. Hopefully a fast track up there in Townsville. Yeah, there's every chance he scores really well this week. So, yeah.
Yep. The other one, Fedo, who's just a little bit, it's hard to say he's down on form because he's been playing well, but Dylan Edwards, 837K. It's clear with Cleary in the team, he's sort of just hanging out on the right now, so the role isn't quite there. At that value and the tough draw they have three really tough games in a row now. I think they've got Storm, Dogs and Raiders, or Storm, Raiders, Dogs. Could you see yourself moving him on if you're flush with trades?
Yep, 100%. You touched on Herbie Farmer, with that 800K value. He's in a similar boat, and I'd much prefer, if I had six plus trades, and if I didn't own Walsh or Turbo, and if that second trade could facilitate an upgrade somewhere else, a bit of a depth piece, something like that, I'd 100% look at going Dylan Edwards to like a Walsh or a Turbo this week. And then, yeah, getting an extra play with that 200-300K that frees up. So, yeah, that's definitely something I'll look at, especially with the draw. And the fact that he's no longer goal kicking, like, I think he's capped at like that 70 to 80 type score. But, yeah,
Funny you say that, Fenno, because he's got a ball projection this week of 70. And for the run home for these last four games, he's projected at 73. So that's sort of good 10 to 12 points lower than Turbo and Walsh. So you're looking at sort of an upgrade of, and then if you get the ceiling of those guys thrown in with these matchups, I think you're looking at a pretty nice trade there if you can justify it.
Yeah, 100%.
These options, Chris, at fullback. So we've spoken about Walsh, we've spoken about Turbo. Does Trell tickle your fancy at all as the pod of all pods, even if he's at center and even if he's got a bye in round 26? Yeah. Surely that has to rule him out.
Yeah, there's a couple of caveats there that just rule him out for me. But geez, it was good to see him up and about on the weekend.
Good.
Good to see him back playing football. Souths are a much better proposition when Trell's up and about. So it was great to see him play. He scored well. I actually thought he was in for more, and then sort of looked at the score. I think he only managed a high 80s.
81 or 79 81. Or something, yeah.
Yeah, but like it felt like it was a ton. But, he he's also not goal-kicking. Geez, it'd be ultra, ultra pod. I think it'd be one of those trades in purely a head-to-head battle where you can flip him late to try and get the victory, but I couldn't get around it any other way.
He got me over the line in my draft. In my draft game, so I was very, very thankful.
The Netflix and Trell,
yeah.
How good.
So, very, very happy with the Trell, but I couldn't be going anywhere near Trell. I would be going near Turbo. I own Turbo, but I think Reece Walsh is the pick of the fullbacks. Fenno, he's projected 84 this week. They got the Finns. Then I think they've got, I don't know, they got a good matchup next week, and then they've got the
Cowboys at some point.
And the Cowboys after that.
And Sunshine Coast Falcons in the last round if Melbourne are resting.
Yeah. No, I think he's a great purchase this week, Walshy.
Yeah, especially with the goal kicking as well. Like, that just adds to his floor.
Didn't even think of that, yeah.
Yeah, he's – and Ben Hunt's no mug at halfback either. So, like, everyone's saying the Broncos will struggle now without Reynolds and Mann, but, like, he's – as a former Dragons player, I watched him quite closely last year, and he did a job at halfback, so – while they probably won't be quite as strong, I think he'll do a job. And I think, Walsh, with the goal kicking, I'd love to be able to get him, but he'd be someone I'd probably maybe be looking at in the last couple of rounds in my trade situation.
Nice. Certainly those who jumped on for his 140 a couple of weeks ago, 130, whatever he updated, downdated to, have certainly backed a winner there now, even though they probably didn't feel like that much on Thursday night when he dropped 20-odd. But yeah, plenty to look forward to as a Reece Walsh owner. Chris Fenner, I'm going to give you one choice each. If you were bringing in at fullback this week between Turbo and Walsh, who would you be bringing in, Chris?
Walsh.
Fenner?
Turbo.
Ooh. Is that maybe the tiebreaker? Shit. I'll go Walsh.
The goal kicking swung me. I forgot all about it.
Yeah. 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 I love it. I just love the role that I think we're going to see him in. I do think the floor is a touch lower, but like we saw what the Roosters did to the Finns the other night, and I'm not saying that's going to happen again because the Finns are going to get up for this game. It's probably the biggest game in Finns history. Local derby with top eight getting up to be on the
fair
line.
Fair shout.
They get a couple of players back. But yeah, I mean, like they're rocks and diamonds, the Finns. Like you can't be shipping 60 points, one week and then, yeah. So anyway, I think the matchup's good. All right, boys, centre wing. So there's like, quite frankly, there's nothing doing at centre wing this week. The options are underwhelming. The pods like Stephen Crichton, Chris, who I know you bought, he looks like he's going to get Connor Tracy'd and their draw gets tough, so he's not really an option, 600K now. Dane Gagai, my goodness gracious. Last week, we all couldn't have been higher on him. He was the next coming. He was the next coming of Jesus Christ. And he was fullback. He was goal kicking. He was busting tackles. Then he got to the game and he had a legs. I don't know what would you call it. It was like a one-legged torpedo on the right leg.
Yeah, well put.
He didn't kick goals. He did play fullback, but this weekend he is not playing fullback. He will probably not be kicking goals. And he's stuck in 35% of the top 10% teams. Fenno, what would you be doing as a Dane Gagai owner this week?
Oh, I don't think there's any reason to panic. Like, the Cows are a good matchup regardless. Like, I know he's lost some of that floor with the goal kicking and then moving to centre, but I think if you've got him, you're rolling him out this week. But I just think that doesn't make him a buy anymore. If you held off on him last week, I certainly wouldn't be purchasing him this week with the move back to centre. So, yeah, I was heavily looking at him last week, but decided to be patient, and I'm glad I did now that the fact he's, been moved back to centre.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I would be certainly not buying. He's got a projection of 57 this week. I would hold, mainly holding A because you don't have any trades, and B, he can still score well, and C, what's C? I did have a C.
Matchups aren't too bad.
Matchup, like he's a warm body, right? Like he's fine. He's a very, very good super coach.
Their draw's not too bad either.
And their draw's not too bad. So I'd be holding Gagai if I owned him. Chris, I want to know, who are these other centre wing guys? If you are deciding, you know, there'll be teams out there maybe who need an 18th player this week. They need to fill their squad out, and maybe they've got Herbie or they've got someone else who's a priority sell at centre. Who is there anyone catching your eye at centre wing this week that you'd be looking at?
No, short answer, no, but if I was to make a choice, I really like Cooler. I thought he played outstanding on Friday night against Canberra. He was basically the only bright spark in attack. In previous years, we've seen it. He likes to catch fire in the last month. He's priced pretty well, so it's pretty easy to own him. I really like Cooler for the last month, and they've got a really nice few matchups.
It's just a shame we will never get to see him at fullback again. Weekly call out for the Sharks to sign him at fullback. That would be nice, guys, if you can ever get around to it. Yeah, look, he's got some scores in the hundreds and the 90s this year. 79 and 80 minutes on the weekend. He's a nice selection there, Chris. A couple of others who are on the radar still. Bo Fermor. I don't think I've ever mentioned a man's name as much as Bo's on the pod with never actually owning him. Marky Mark. Brian Toto. Someone who's a little bit interesting, Fenno, bounced back to some form with a ton on the weekend. Still going to be a little bit of risk, though, with those matchups and just the lack of good ball out on the right edge.
Look.
Do you own him?
No, I don't. No, I was looking at him a couple of weeks ago and just the injury risk kind of scared me off a little bit. So stayed off him. He looked probably better last week than he has in about a month. Looked like he was moving a bit freer. But yeah, with a draw, I'm probably not looking at him. If you're purely looking at a centre wing to bring in this week, I'd be looking at Katoa or Mulitalo coming up against the Titans. I know the bye is tricky next week, but Sharky's draw is still good. And I think Ronnie's in some of his, like, he scored 60-odd on the weekend and didn't score a try. So I think he got 59 on the weekend without a try. So I'd love Ronnie as a bit of a Hail Mary head-to-head play if you need a warm body this week. Coming up against the Titans, he's someone I'd certainly look at. I'd probably, yeah, take him over like a Brian To'o. But, yeah, the draw makes it the bye next week makes it a bit awkward.
That's a great shout for head-to-head players who have to win this week, especially if you're behind. Go and add up your baller projections. You won't have to add them up soon, but yeah, for now, go and add up your baller projections. See how you're going. If you're a little bit behind, I don't mind the Ronnie play there because, yeah, versus Titans at home, that it'd be interesting to see if the Titans give up now. Like, just given how deflating that loss must have been on the weekend. Like Campbell dropping it over the line. It's all a bit gross. Tino's back at least. So we'll see. But yeah, I think Ronnie's a good shout, mate. One I don't mind, a couple I want to talk about actually. Tane Tuipiki from the Waz. The Waz run into a really hot run of games starting this week. So they've got the Dragons at home, followed by the Titans away. And we know that's actually a bit of a home game for the Waz with the amount of support they get on the Gold Coast. And then they've got the Eels at home. And then Manly away to finish off. I do have a little concern, though, that Tuipiki might get punted back out of the team once they get Lair Tower or Berry back in the team. There's still no sign of them. So it's very much a flyer. But I think if you're trying to win a head-to-head this week and maybe you've got some Raiders who you're due back next week, then I don't mind him as a bit of a flyer. The other one is Alex Johnston, Chris. He's obviously out to score the try-scoring record. He's worked his way back up to 600K now. I was kind of like of the opinion that I wouldn't go anywhere near him because of his flaw and how bad Souths are. Nothing's really changed my mind there that much. I'm just getting his score up from the weekend. He had 81 with a couple of tries. The argument for is they are going to be doing everything they can to get him those three tries to get him to break that Ken Irvine record. And you can certainly see it happening.
Definitely. I actually think on the weekend they might have played to him once where it probably should have gone inside and someone might have scored under the post. I think Trell threw it out to him off a half break and there was an opportunity back inside. So I think, yeah, they're definitely going to be looking for him to get over the line. That's Alex Johnston, right? You need him to score tries to be relevant. The floor is the floor. So you need him to be scoring tries. They've got a couple of, they've got the bye too.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's ultra pod. I think it's in that head to head realm of if you've got a matchup and you're in trouble, it's a good way of maybe getting yourself out of a pickle.
Yeah. I think he needs three tries to turn up and look, if he's on two, he might get three given how hard they're gonna be going left. So
Send him off! Send the dressing room off! Get him off the field! That were diabolical!
All right, boys, let's kick on now down to 5'8 and halfback, and not a lot to talk about here. One, I just wanted to touch on at 5'8, Fenno, was Tommy Dearden. He's 694K, and he was very highly purchased after having 143 a couple of weeks ago. Then he's chucked out a 23 on the weekend. If you did own Dearden, trades or no trades, would you be looking to move him on at that price and sort of downgrading him, or would you be happy to stick fat and hopefully he can bounce back against the Knights this week?
Yeah, the draw's decent, and I think he's going to be doing all he can to sort of lift the Cowboys up the table. I didn't like what I saw against the Eels on the weekend. Like, it was he's just wasn't as involved. Gross. Yeah, it was a tough watch. I had him in one of my drafts and just the score wasn't moving north at all in the first half. That's tough. Like if you went him down to, and I'll talk about my pot of the week soon, but if you could downgrade him to someone to free up cash to do another move, I don't mind. He's not someone I'd be comfortable running out every week to say that. So,
No, I think you've got to, I probably think you've made your bed though.
Yeah,
you bought him in. You know, you've either got that 143 or you haven't. I just think you're probably blowing trades. He's still got the potential to score as good as any of these 5'8s.
Yeah.
So I think you can just use the trade a bit more.
And the draw's not too bad either.
But let's do pot of the week now while we're at 5'8, because we've got two 5'8s in here. And Fenno, I'm gonna start with you. This is ultra pod.
Yeah, so mine is Benny Hunt, former Dragons great. He's got that dual position flexibility, halfback and 5'8, which is handy to have if you're limited on trades. Watching him closely at the Dragons last year, he scored well at halfback. He's got big games in him. The Broncos draw is decent as well. So, like, they're going to doing whatever they can to try and sneak into that top eight. So, and I thought he looked pretty good filling at halfback last week. So at 380K, I think he is. If you went like a KO Weeks to him or a Dearden to him to facilitate another mood, I don't mind him. He's like 0.4% owned. Broncos have got no more buyers and the draw's great. So I don't mind Dozer as a bit of a Hail Mary.
Yep. I like the, it is a Hail Mary. I just haven't seen the form from Hunt this year that I would want to bring him in, but I do like your point around facilitating other moves, especially if you can get a warm body, you know, moving up from someone who maybe is gone and you can't get him any team or whatever that might be. So I don't mind it from that perspective. He is 5'8 only, producer Gramsci whispers in the ear. So not dual, but that's okay. I don't think you're going to want to be play. I don't think you're going to want him at 5'8. I don't think you're going to want him at halfback anyway. So that's all good. Chris, your pot of the week.
Yeah, my pot of the week this week. It's pretty tough to pick him, but ex-Coates, I was very, very impressed with him last week. Have been all year, actually.
He's playing really good football. So well.
And that Munster kick out to him, like that, like I think even Harry Grant tried a couple of times. Like they are like really looking to get him over the try line. He's such an attacking weapon in the air, on the ground. Look, their draw's not ideal, but it's Melbourne. So I think they're fairly draw-proof. And, yeah, I really like Xavier Coates. He's only about 550, maybe just shy of that, 543. Look, ball of projection's got him at 51, but I reckon he can sneak over for one more and maybe get, you know, 80-odd.
I think he's probably Dally and Winger of the Year, Coates.
You'd have to go close.
This is the best I've ever seen him play. I've never been a hater, but I definitely didn't probably think he was as good as he is, and he's certainly had an amazing year. He also got up to 750K in Supercoach this year, so he's got that ceiling if the Storm can continue to play well. So we'll see how that pans out. My pot of the week is Blaze Tulagi. Now Blaze has somewhat flattered to deceive this year, but I think that's unfair because he has had some very, very nice scores throughout the year, culminating in that 99 on the weekend. The Panthers draw gets rough with Storm, Raiders, Dogs before they play the Knights. But I just think Blaze is rising in confidence every week. He's parking himself on the left. He's also getting a lot of ball playing out front instead of switching out to Cleary at the back as well. And I just, I'm really enjoying watching him play. I think he's going to be a really tremendous player moving forward. So just he's centre wing, obviously. So I'd probably pick him up there if I had to. But, yeah, just a nice little pod if you are forced into a purchase this week, in a week that is, like we've said, there's not much doing on the target front. All right, halfback. Chris, one name here I just want to talk about because I think most of us are running a Hines-Cleary combo at half now. I don't think there's much else going on. But if you didn't have that combo for whatever reason, or you were looking for a flex and you weren't keen on one of those gun fullbacks we spoke about, Sammy Walker, 705K on the weekend, tonned up with, I think, 112. He certainly come back as the general in that team. He had on a string, but I don't think they're going to get it as easy as they got it on the weekend against the Finns.
No, they certainly won't get it as easy, but it won't stop him from trying. He will be pulling the trigger on anything he sees, and he scores so well when he's up and about like that. Also got the goal kicking. He's striking them beautifully. I think he missed his first one in 22 or 23 kicks or something ridiculous on the weekend.
27. He got 27 in a row, yeah.
That's amazing. And he hit the post. It wasn't like he missed it, by a long way. No, I really like Sam Walker. If it was a different time of the year, I'd really like to go pod on him. But I just think the other two options are too good at the moment. But it's interesting. In the flex, it's something I really haven't thought of. I've just been, you know, fullback mad there all year. Mm. But I know their draws, it's not brutal, but imagine owning him in the last round against South Sydney.
Yeah, I think that's when you want him.
Yeah, it might be a lot of fun.
I was just going to say, if you've got trades up your sleeve, if you trade Nicho Hynes on the bye next week to Sammy Walker and get him for their last two matchups, like he's got South, and I'm not sure who he's got next week. But yeah, I don't mind that as a bit of a pod play next week. You get an extra game out of him over Nicho Hynes. So yeah.
That's a good shout.
They got Para next week.
Yeah. See, so great matchup.
Good matchup before Storm in 26. They got Storm away in 26 down here. So that's obviously quite tough. But yeah, Para and Souths. Very, very nice. Yeah, he's not one of mine in Supercoach Sammy, but he's got these games in him. Like, I think it was Anzac Day last year when he went berserk against the Dragons as well. Yeah, Tube sold him.
That was a tough watch.
Great moments in Supercoach history. Tube selling Sam Walker for his 100. I think he got 150 or something.
Oh, it could have been 170, 180. It was massive. Yeah,
it was massive.
All right. So yeah, Sammy Walker on the radar. We'll bring him back. We'll bring him back on topic next week with a little sneaky Nicho sell. I'd hate it if Nicho's a buddy rage trade come next week. Down to second row and front row, boys, and there's zero doing here. I just got a couple options who I wanted to put up who I think are the best. Tino's back, which is amen, bloody amen. Feno and me are cheering. You only still turn Tino, Chris?
Yeah, held. Oh, huge, huge result.
Huge result. So very happy to see him back. Lukey Garner, 600K. Like, that's pod. That's a nice pod option, isn't it, Chris?
It is. So it doesn't warm the cockles of the heart. It's a tough sell. But that's second row. I think everyone's pretty much where they're at. He's probably the best of the bad bunch if you're trying to buy someone this week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, though.
I feel like I want to say the jewel's handy, but it's not. And I want to invoke like a judiciary charge for saying the jewel is handy next season, where you'll get one game with an early plea and two games with if you want to fight it. But yeah, Aaron Clark is the other one, Fenno, who I think. So I've got Oren Keeley, and I'm 15K off being able to do Keeley to Clark in one move, which would get rid of all my AE issues. And I actually may consider that. I would have considered that. But I'm kind of glad I don't have to, because I don't really want to have to make a trade at 2RF. I think Aaron Clark is the pick still, if you don't own him, of these guys, given the work he's been still getting through. He had a bit of a down week on the weekend, but I see no reason with these matchups why he can't get an attacking stat or two on the way home.
Yeah. The only thing that concerns with him a little bit is just the chance of an early shower. If the games on the friendly matchups on the way home, there's a bit of a blowout there. I think the past month, in fact, he's had some of his lower scores of the season. So, he's not one for me, but I can see it if you're trying to get rid of an AE issue. I'm very similar to you, Matty. I've got Connolly Lemu-Lemu on my bench.
Good pronunciation.
Yeah, and I took a chance on him about 3 weeks ago, and now that he's coming off the bench, it might be something I'll look at as well. But it's just not somewhere. If you've got enough coverage there at 2RF in front row, you don't want to be making trades, I don't think. So,
good point.
Yeah, no, I think that's very fair. Last position of the night, boys, hooker, and. Jesus, it's been a bloody tough year for the hookers. They haven't got any love on this pod. They haven't got much love anywhere. And it's continued. And Connor Watson is now no longer relevant. He's in my team. He's 530K. I'm going to have to trot him out this weekend, unfortunately. Hope he starts. But, yeah, we're seeing that 60-minute roll, Chris. He's projected in a 50-minute roll. I'm just going to double-check this on Baller. But I think he's got a projection of 49, 50 points on the weekend. And that is in 60 minutes. So I think that's actually, if he starts off the bench, that's basically best case.
Oh, I think you're right. So what do we have? On the weekend, he had a line assist and maybe a try assist as well.
Yeah, he had a try assist, yeah.
In 47.
He got one taken off him,
yeah,
which I thought was a bit harsh, to be honest, but I do own him.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't own Teddy, who got it. So, you know.
We didn't captain him.
We didn't captain him. Yeah, exactly.
Basically didn't own him.
Yeah, it felt like that. Yeah, look, it's a hard one. Connor Watson, I think it just, you sort of hooker. I've got to the point where, you know, I've made my bed with Connor Watson. I'm just going to lay in it for the rest of the season.
The only thing I would say is maybe you can sit him if you can afford to. Like, I'd be looking to sit him. I just don't have that luxury this week with Huddy on the bye. Come next week, he'll be a good sit star candidate. In saying that, he's a bloody good player, and if he gets back to 80 minutes, like, let's just hope. So you never know what Robbo's going to do. They've got Siwa Wong out this weekend, so that Roosters bench rotation is just all over the shop every week. They get minimum one head knock a week.
Yeah.
And then they get an injury or two. So you just never know what's going to turn up there.
Sorry, can I just jump in? I've just had a bit of an epiphany. If you're flush with trades, and you've got like a second rower you want to get rid of, and you've got Watson up at hooker, I don't mind moving him down, trading out a second rower, moving him down a second rower and grabbing Harry Grant. If you've got, I feel like he scores a lot better with Pappenhausen out of the team as well. Like, his massive score, I feel like, was when Pappy was out. So the fact there's no Pappenhausen, no Hughes this week, like, I'm really worried as a non. I know it's a tough matchup against Panthers, but I feel like it's something that Harry will get up for. So, look, if I can make my cash work from Connolly Lemu to Harry Grant, that's something I may actually look at this week with one of my trades.
Very nice. Oh, mate, I'm here for epiphanies. I'll tell you that. I love epiphanies. So, anytime we can help out with an epiphany, that's a win for the Ballers. Boys, that's going to see us out tonight. Great show, great carry. I know, like, we're dug in. Chris, you got us out of the in goal. Fenno took the first carry, and I've just sort of come out, made a good 8 meters from the 10 meter line. So I think we're going to make it out.
2 points.
We're going to make it out to the 30 before we get our kick away. So thank you both very much for coming. It's been an awesome show. We got the Q&A pod Thursday. I don't know. I don't think Danny Boy's going to be on, so we'll get someone else in for that. Could be me solo again, but we'll be using. As always on the Q&A, we're doing live with the baller.live site on YouTube. So make sure you check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's a big week for sit starts for a lot of teams as well.
Huge.
And a lot of head-to-head finals questions as well and draft finals. So looking forward to answering all those come Thursday morning. So make sure you check us out on socials to ask us a few questions. Fenno, mate, fantastic second up tonight. Really appreciate you coming along and looking forward to seeing you on the watch along.
Yeah, mate. Next week. I cannot wait. So, good luck to everyone this week, and may you win your head-to-head semi-finals.
Absolutely. Chris, should say as well, that's another what Berry jersey are you sporting tonight?
This is 2008, so it was big once upon a time. Now it's skin tight. So it's actually Moo Day, which is Magpies of Old Day, Berry Old Boys Day on Saturday. So I thought I'd chuck it on for that. Don't know if I'll wear it Saturday. If I do, it'll have a few spills on it, I reckon.
You're not running out, are you, for a game?
Absolutely not. Just there to watch the boys. Hopefully they get a win. I don't even know who they're playing this weekend, but I'll be there with bells on. So
good stuff, mate. Good luck to the Berry Magpies this week, and good luck to everyone's Supercoach team out there. Head to baller.live and check us out on socials. Thank you very much. And Chris, take us out.
You'll be on it.